Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Tracy Hammond, who is a vice president with Dutco Worldwide, which is the lobbying firm that represents the Carpet and Rug Institute in Washington, D.C. Tracy, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Kemp. How about yourself?
I'm great. Actually, I'm glad you could be with us. This is the date, August 2nd, that we've all been waiting for, and it looks like Washington has finally structured some type of a deal that will get us out of this debt ceiling issue. And as a Washington insider, I thought it'd be great to talk to you about it. I guess this thing's still on track, right?
It is still on track, Kemp. Right now, the leadership of both the House and the Senate is working to, you know, get all their votes in order. The goal and the plan is for all this to still happen by today, August 2nd, and get it all done to avoid defaulting on any debt.
Okay. So you think they'll be able to get it passed today, or will they have to pass some kind of stopgap measure just to for a few days just to get it?
I think, at least right now, Kemp, I think they'll get it done today.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting. Very interesting.
They're certainly going to be, it will not be unanimous, of course. There are still some conservative Republicans in the House mm-hmm. that feel this has not gone far enough in terms of restraining federal spending. Mm-hmm. And by the same token, there are liberals in the House and the Senate who feel like, you know, this is too draconian a measure and that the White House gave in and gave away too much. So there will certainly be folks that oppose this measure, but right now everyone does expect there to be enough votes to get this to the president for his signature today.
Yeah, you know, I was watching some Fox TV over the weekend, which I know is certainly not unbiased and leans to the right, and they were saying that this deal, because they already had, I guess, some preliminary view of it, that while it says that this deal has spending cuts in it, actually for the next couple of years, spending will continue to increase, won't it?
Well, what it is, there's not necessarily, obviously the word cut is being thrown around quite a bit. Yeah. What this deal is going to do is it will put hard spending caps on federal spending for the next 10 years mm-hmm. through 2021. Now, what I have been told, and the few documents that I have seen to this point, the spending allowed for the government and for at least the next two fiscal years, that would be 2012 and 2013, the total numbers would actually be less than is being spent this year in 2011.
Okay.
Then after that, the spending, it does tick up slightly, but when you compare that to what was expected, they would be significantly lower numbers, and that's where a lot of the savings comes from.
Okay. So one of the things I wanted to ask you is there was obviously some compromise here. The people on the left side wanted some taxes, and there's no taxes in this. And the people on the right side wanted more severe cuts, and they were able to meet in the middle on that. But one of the things I wanted to ask you, and I'm not sure if it's clear yet, but it seemed to me that the people on the right side also wanted this to be reviewed again prior to the election cycle of next November. Where do we stand with that?
Well, what we've got is, as part of this deal, there will be about $1 trillion, that's with a T, mm-hmm. in terms of spending cuts and caps placed for the next 10 years, and also in conjunction, you know, $1 trillion increase to the debt limit. Then what has been created by this deal is sort of a super Congress or super commission, as the term being bandied about here. Six senators and six congressmen, three from each party, that have to put forth a proposal with $1.5 trillion of cuts in addition to the first trillion. The first trillion will get us to the first part of 2012, so it'll get us 6 or 8 months down the road, and then Congress will have to revisit this to further keep the government from defaulting on loans. So in that sense, I think the conservatives sort of did get their way in that Congress and the White House have to revisit this issue sometime in early 2012 before the November election.
Okay. Now, help me. This may require a spreadsheet, which is hard to do on an audio interview, but correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like the annual budget for this country is somewhere in the $3.x trillion a year. That's an annual budget. We owe $14.x trillion. That's the deficit. And so as we talk about going up and going down, I'm a little confused. We're letting it go up a trillion, but we're going to cut a trillion over 10 years. So can you help me with that?
It is tricky, and I'm not sure how well I will be able to explain it, but I'm happy to give it a shot in that. And to remember, too, Kim, you said the budget is three-something trillion dollars per year for the federal government.
Yeah.
It's worth noting that all of these spending cuts, or the extreme vast majority of these spending cuts being considered, just deal with discretionary spending.
Okay.
And there's very little to really nothing at all being done for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and those entitlement programs, which really make up about two-thirds of the budget. All of this activity is really being focused on about $1 trillion per year.
I see.
Of the federal budget. So only about a third of the budget is really getting worked on through all of this process.
Yeah.
And under it, and this is why some of the conservatives are not going to support this deal, because if these estimates prove out, and we're 5 or 10 years down the road, the federal debt held by the U.S. government is still going to be larger down the road than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the real problem that conservatives have with this, is it doesn't fix the problem. It addresses the current crisis, perhaps,
This
deal does, but it doesn't fix the root problem, which is the debt of the United States government.
Right. And somebody had taken it to what you'd almost call a reduction to the ridiculous to say that it's like a household making $50,000 a year and spending $80,000 a year, and we're still, even with all this legislation, we're still spending more than we're making, isn't that right?
And that is correct. I mean, think, you know, obviously there's some hope that if the economy turns around, then of course revenues would go back up, and that of course could change the entire equation if there's more, you know, revenue coming into the government, not necessarily through tax increases, just because the economy's better and more revenues are being generated, hence, you know, a few more taxes roll into the federal coffers. That can change the entire equation. But the way these measurements are put together, it's you take a snapshot of the way the economy is today and you put that forward. So by that standpoint, you are right. I mean, this still doesn't fix the base problem that we have more money going out than we have coming in.
Yeah. Now, explain, there's something about a balanced budget amendment coming out of this legislation. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, that was actually probably the only thing that the House Republicans lost. They very much wanted a balanced budget amendment to be approved by Congress and to be part of this deal. However, at the last minute, that was taken out of this deal.
Oh.
So I think that the congressional Republicans won quite a bit, and I think they probably won the overall battle here. But that was one particular skirmish that they lost, because the balanced budget amendment was taken out of this deal. So if they can try to keep pushing that, but that'll have to come through another legislative vehicle. You know, I think all in all, probably the Republicans came out ahead on this. I mean, they didn't get everything they want, but I think they got more than I think the Democrats and the liberals got out of this deal at the end of the day, if you're just keeping score at home.
All right. Well, I appreciate the update on this. Again, been talking to Tracy Hammond, a Washington insider and somebody that can explain this better than most people I know, with Dutco Worldwide. And you've been listening to Kemphar and FloorDaily.net.